The NFL draft, as much as I love it, and I lick it up like you can possibly... I'm watching rounds 5, 6, and 7 on Saturday.
Yeah.
But it can get mundane. It can get boring. You can get kind of hypnotized.
Agreed.
And so near the end of the draft tonight, it's getting late. It's 11, 12 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm really tired. I got to go to work tomorrow. We're going to be out at the office. I want to be at my best ability. I want to, you know, get my beauty rest, put my makeup on. I mean, not makeup. Did I say makeup? I'm not Bruce Jenner. I meant fingernail polish. No, that's not what I meant either. I meant dress. No, that's not what I meant. No, but what basically, don't go to bed at night because what happened last year... Teddy Bridgewater, number 32. Anything, I wouldn't put anything past Rick Spielman. It's going to be so exciting, but we'll continue draft talk coming up here.
On the, that was pretty good. But now that you remind me of that, that was pretty brilliant. Anthony Barr, and then somehow, some way, thank God he doesn't put a glove on for a pro day. We get Teddy Bridgewater.
I love that kid.
Jeez.
I love him.
I'll take it. Nice job. Even Spielberg, I'll give you 1 year exempt. You can have a screw-up this year because of what you did last year.
No.
I love Bridgewater that much.
No screw-ups allowed.
I know. You can't. You really can't. You can't afford to. Come on back, everybody. We're going to talk the draft some more right after this.
It's time to get fired up for some wild playoff hockey. Join Radioactive Sports at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before the game. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Olsen will be live at Tom Reed's from 4 to 7 in the afternoon for weekday home playoff games. Get to St. Paul early for live pregame Stanley Cup coverage on the show. Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub is right next to Xcel Energy Center on West 7th Street. The Radioactive Sports broadcasts are presented by Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski & Atkins. Cup coverage you can count on. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
The seats are comfier, the views are better, the food is tastier, and the beer is colder. Tickets are still just $5. Fun is good at CHS Field, St. Paul's front porch and home of Saints baseball. Visit saintsbaseball.com for tickets.
As the weather gets warmer, we spend more time outdoors. Here at Shamrock Golf Course, we hope your outdoors time is spent with us. Our par 72 course is open, located in Corcoran, west of Maple Grove in Plymouth. It's a beautiful rolling terrain for golfers of all levels. All the facilities you expect, with a staff dedicated to making your golf experience one to remember. 18-hole rates start at just $20. Go to shamrockgolfcourse.com, sign up for our e-club, and get a free round of golf, too. Shamrock Golf Course in Corcoran, where our luck finds you.
You make the decision to buy the home, then you're faced with what's next. What do we do?
We started at Realtor.com.
Realtor.com gave us a lot more current information.
Listings are pulled directly from the MLS every 15 minutes.
Once you've gone through all of that, the Realtor makes it happen.
We worked with a Realtor that really knew the area.
And he knew the market.
When you have someone who has the expertise, it makes it so much easier.
Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Think you need to wait till the kids are grown and life settles down before you paint? Think again. We paint now with Behr Premium Plus paint, only at the Home Depot, starting at $25.97 a gallon. It covers the colors of the past and lets future messes wipe right off. Let's stand up to what life throws at us and at our walls. Let's do this. Behr Premium Plus, starting at $25.97 a gallon. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Price may vary by store location, U.S. only. See store for details.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Olsen. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
I haven't talked to him recently. I talked to him a little while ago and kind of shared some thoughts with him. And, you know, I think everybody's in support of him. And you have a great relationship, and I do with him. It's just he said his piece, and I just, you know, heard him out. But obviously he brings, you know, a lot to our team, and we'd love to have him back here this offseason, hopefully, and start working with him.
That's all you can do. It's all you can do. Just line up. Tell you you're coming back, you're under contract, they don't trade you, may as well just put your helmet on, come on back and play. There aren't many options at that point.
Chad Greenway, by the way, is on Twitter now, and he's posting some pretty funny things. He's new to Twitter, so anybody that's new to anything, especially Twitter, I believe it's at Chad Greenway 52.
Okay.
He started yesterday, and it was just, it's been kind of funny because he doesn't know how to use it very well.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me from a pig farmer. Hmm. Good kid, one of the best guys on the team. I was in full and complete support of him coming back to this team one way or another. I know it probably cost him quite a bit to come back to restructure his contract. I think he can still make almost what he would have made anyway with incentives, though. So they restructured it.
Would you say that the Dallas Cowboys, obviously, they say they're out of the Adrian Peterson running. They don't want anything to do with it. Do you think that's the son, Steve Jones, or the dad, Jerry Jones? Because our guy in the midday, Jim Rome, was having this conversation back and forth saying, Steve Jones is... He's out of the room. Jerry Jones gets on the phone with Rick Spielman. I'll give you 5 first-round draft picks and 10 players. What do you want? Because Jerry Jones, he's the crazy one, but now that the son is kind of down there in charge.
There's another guy, too. There's another guy down there that supposedly has Jerry Jones corralled, no pun intended. But I guess he's got him lassoed in.
Good for Cowboys fans because they would have wound up with Johnny Manziel last year.
Probably so.
Jerry Jones wanted to draft Johnny Manziel.
Well, this new guy, and I forgot what his name was, he's kind of the new, I don't know whether you want to call him, he's in
general
charge of the cap and the cap structure and everything else, and he's got it all laid out now, finally, where Jerry's not always behind on the salary cap and overspending his salary cap. But he was also the one that said, you know what? You better go back to what made this team a great, 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 great football team when you got it.
Was running the football.
Running the football. Even more so, they need they needed the offensive lineman. He talked him into Martin. He talked him into Tyrone Smith. He talked him into a lot of offensive linemen, and it worked this past season.
It always starts in the trenches, both sides of the ball.
It does.
Let's go to John in Minneapolis. Wants to talk about AP. Hey, John, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
Great. You?
Hey, I'm doing great. Superstar, what are you benching now?
More than you, Tiny. I don't know what I bench anymore. I don't know, but I don't know why you're asking me either, by the way. How would you like to have your ass cool to the folding chair?
Hey, well, I just want to point out, I don't know why they, Viking Brass Juan Peterson, first of all, he's turned into a diva.
Yeah, yes.
And he's disruptive. I mean, with the money we're paying him, we could get like 3 or 4 quality players. So if they really have this team concept, value the team concept, I think he would be completely disruptive.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's the kind of guy that's pretty well received in the locker room. I think he definitely, I'm with you though. I think if he doesn't come back to the team and at least apologize to those guys that I feel he let down last year. I mean, it cost everybody who was a veteran football player a whole year out of their career at making a run at the Super Bowl. You only get so many cracks at making that tournament run. And I think he owes everyone in the room that. I don't care about the younger guys, but the older guys that have been sitting there at 10, 11, 12 years or whatever in the league, he just cost them a hell of a shot at whatever. Anyway. Plus, and when he comes back, I think he'll play hard. I just do.
Sure. Plus the fact that John in Minneapolis, I think that the Minnesota Vikings have to say they're in love with him. They have to play and they have to toe the line because, granted, he's under contract. He's very valuable to the team at $12.75 million, whether he's on the field or they end up trading him. They've got to sell this, you know. They got to spit shine this doozy, basically, of what they had in this indictment and all these things.
Yeah.
But, and I agree with you, Superstar, he comes back in the locker room. I think the only thing that would probably be bad, because Adrian Peterson's kind of a happy-go-lucky guy, the only thing I could see him doing badly is maybe just pouting and keeping to himself.
I don't see him being that guy.
But I don't either.
Yeah,
I'm saying that's worst case scenario, in my opinion.
Worst case scenario. But I think when you hand him the football, he's going to try and run. Yeah. And that's all that matters. But I also think that, the Vikings. Thinks, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He thinks the Vikings owe him an apology, so he's going the wrong direction.
Yeah, of course he does. He's ass backwards.
They're giving him the football and he's running the other way, kind of like Jim Marshall. But I think the Vikings are pretending a little bit to think. They're selling him as a big player, which he is or was at one time. They have
a command
of like 2, 3, 4, you know, big draft choices and everything else. When you really do wonder how much more a 30-year-old running back with all the injuries he's had is going to be able to deliver, I think you're really in great shape. If you get a first-round trade of whatever, if it was one of the running backs, and a second, third draft choice, even in another year, I would take it.
That's hitting the jackpot.
It is hitting the jackpot.
Yeah. John, we've got to take a run, but who do you think the Minnesota Vikings draft tonight?
I have no idea. It looks like they're going for quarterbacks, wide receivers, but I'd like to see offensive line take over.
Too.
I think we need help there.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, all 3 points. And but if you had to take a guess, who do you think they would take and what position do you think they'd start with?
It looks like they're going to go for cornerback.
Which one?
Trey Wayne's?
I'd say.
I think so, too. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck. Best of luck, Skol Vikings. We'll talk to you tomorrow after we find out who they actually did pick. But Brian Murphy, though, live from Chicago, live from draft headquarters. We got to talk to him. We'll check in with him a couple of times. Jim Rich, also in Chicago, covering the Minnesota Wild, Chicago Blackhawks game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're all...
That's quite a setup there in Chicago.
We should basically be in Chicago. Our boss said today goes, I said half our show is from Chicago today. He said, we should fly you guys out there. Well, yeah. Why didn't you think about that a couple weeks ago? It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he was joking, though.
I'm sure he was. They don't do that stuff around here. Because Brian doesn't care.
No, that's not true. Stop it. They just don't trust you outside of their sight.
Well, maybe that,
because you're a jicky jack.
I'm a slap nut as well. Let's take a little break. Come on back. Talk with Brian Murphy, someone who's...
Maverick.
Uh-oh,
running.
Because
Brian Murphy is a sharp-dressed man.
Argyle socks.
Pimpin' cane, top hat. You know, the huge.
Nice little sweater.
Gentlemen, you would actually be impressed, because today I am actually wearing a suit.
Whoa.
It's not that we don't think that we're not impressed when you don't wear suits, because when you don't wear suits, you're even very, very dapper yourself.
Well, this is the ultimate of corporate meetings, is it not? The NFL draft.
I think it would be. I would think you would want to look the part. Yeah, if you want to get in front of someone really, really super important, like, say, Jameis Winston.
He's not there.
Okay. So, you know, also, why don't you go ahead and tweet that over to 105 The Ticket, what you look like. I mean, take a picture and send it so we can let all our listeners.
I didn't bring my selfie pole, unfortunately, but yeah, I'll try. I'll try to shoot one out.
Okay.
So you're at Chicago. You got to Chicago. You're there at draft headquarters right now, as far as I'm concerned. Right?
I'm actually walking up Michigan Avenue to it. There is a 5-block perimeter. You cannot even get a taxi anywhere near the theater, this being the NFL and all.
Makes sense.
God forbid they don't make it a national security event. But it is a buzz. The town is buzzed on hosting its first draft in over 50 years since it's been here, and it hasn't been in New York. So it should be an interesting night. It's going to be in a lovely auditorium at a 100-year-old college, so it's kind of an interesting scene already.
So is it going to be smaller than Radio City Music Hall? Because that thing has a beast.
Yeah. I mean, it seems sort of ornate place, but not as large. Hmm.
But I think they're doing it right. I mean, now, number one, I think it's the right town, too. I think Chicago's the right place to do it. And you know, draft town, that's what they call it, draft town. The way they've got it set up on TV last night, it looked fantastic. It looked like a lot of fun for everybody.
Plus, it's football weather. It's literally like 47 degrees with a northwest wind. I couldn't believe it when I got here today. It is not the pleasant blue sky 70 degrees that I left.
That's how you draft
like
football
mid-October
players.
Over here, right?
Yeah, that's how you do it, right there.
The what is it? They call the Norris Division, the Black and Blue Division,
all
that good
blue,
stuff.
Black and Blue, man, the old Central.
Brian Murphy, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, and a great friend of the show here from Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Any scuttlebutt you're hearing about the Minnesota Vikings? Obviously, we've talked already about Adrian Peterson, a possible trade back. Anything outside of the ordinary that you're hearing down there in Chicago?
No, it's after obfuscation, subterfuge. Misinformation, all of that stuff. It's kind of been on lockdown the last 24 hours or so.
Yeah.
I don't get a sense that the Vikings are really in the works on anything right now. But again, you know, we got a couple hours here to go. It's a really, really complicated deal. I think we've explained that. If you're going to move Adrian Peterson, involves a huge contract, a lot of moving parts. That already has to be in place, I would think, before you get on the clock and try to pull a deal off like that. So, the fact that there hasn't been any real leaks about anything concrete, there's been speculation about what the values would be in a pick like that, at a trade like that. I'm tending to believe he's going to be staying put. So the real intrigue now shifts whether Trader Rick is going to be content at 11, or will he maybe trade down and still get the guy that he wants? Will Cleveland be their Huckleberry again? They have the last couple of years. I would be surprised if he's got a few tricks up his sleeve in the first round.
Well, I got a little tidbit myself, Brian. I can only say just so much, though.
Oh, God, here we go.
I can tell you this. I know that Chris Carter can't say where he got any information, but he thinks Adrian's going to be traded tonight. He can't say any more.
Yep.
He can't say any more than that. And that, by the way, I don't want any more follow-up questions from either of you as to, you know, how or what I think of that. I can only tell you that Chris kind of knows, well, he knows that something's going to happen tonight, but he just can't say anything because he's on a gag order. Okay.
You know, that sounds an awful lot like Chris Carter saying, hey, don't forget about me.
You think so? It sounds exactly like what he would do on draft day. Don't forget me. I played 700 years ago. I'm still alive. We're happy for you. God, we're happy for you. Take a shot at this thing, Brian Murphy. You're awfully good at this. If Spielberg doesn't... he doesn't do any funky stuff and trade away.
He's going to.
Or do a little package deal.
He's going to do
What will he do at 11 then? What do you think he would do?
If he feels like Waynes can maybe tumble down a little bit more, I think he would trade down a bit and still take him. I think if he feels that, if he gets that sense that he's not burned, I think he would. He loves to stockpile drafts. This is his baby. But I you know, maybe all of the trend lines that have been pointing to Trey, you know, are just part of an elaborate scheme, you know, by the magician.
Oh yeah.
Don't mind what's going on over in my right hand. Look at my left.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, it's obviously a glaring need. We've been talking about it for months and there's been nothing that's come out about this kid in recent weeks that would lead you to believe that, they're not happy with him. So, you know, I think where it would get interesting is, again, if he feels like he can also grab a value pick in the meantime and still get his guy.
That's
where he's going to get tricky.
No, absolutely. Brian Murphy, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, live from Chicago and NFL Draft headquarters. We'll talk to you coming up a little bit later tonight, too. But with Rick Spielman, and we've talked about this several times on and off the radio, you cannot trust a word Rick Spielman is saying right now. And part of me wonders, too, if you follow what he's saying and if you go the exact opposite. Here's the deal, though. I don't think cornerback is that big of a hole. I mean, as much as I do want a cornerback and I think that they need to draft one rather high, and I would love to see somebody paired up with Xavier Rhodes, the massive hole is on the left side of the offensive line at that left guard spot, don't you think?
Probably. I think you can make a case for that, but, you know, the sheriff's going to be there at 11, and if so, you target him and move up, because is that the guy that they have? He's not going to probably tumble to 11, is he?
No, I don't think so. I really, honestly, I know that the Bears are very interested in pairing him as a left guard with Kyle Long being their new stud horse on the right side. So they're trying to rebuild that thing for Matt Forte, and they're trying to get something in the way of a running game so that Cutler can find himself again, too. So.
But do you really want to draft a guard that high in the NFL draft?
That's the thing. How do you make a splash at 11 with a
well,
guard?
Well, because he can play tackle. He can play tackle. He was a left tackle at Iowa.
Well, you know, he can, but
he can play left tackle.
That he's not as great laterally. You know,
I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's an incredible
point.
I mean, I think that from what I saw anyway on film, and I've just been watching tons every night on NFL Network, they have just highlight after highlight of each of the top 10 guys especially. I mean, this Scherf kid can block at left tackle, too. He's very, very good. And I know it's not professional talent that he's playing against, but that's how they're all judged.
The Vikings have a left tackle.
Oh, that's right.
Kind of.
Wait, hold on a second. Just a second.
Overall, I mean, are you just kicking Matt Khalil to the curb?
Hold on.
Hello?
Hello? I would say move that bastard down inside the left guard and put that Scherf kid out there. Or let Scherf shirt up inside with Sullivan and cover for Khalil's ass.
It's just not sexy enough, though. You can get a great starting guard in the second round. A.J. Cann, I like him. There's that Lakin guy from Duke.
Yeah.
There are plenty of other options.
Well, you don't want a guy from Duke. That's all there is to it. You don't want a guy.
Ben, you're saying then, it sounds like to me, you're saying get a wide receiver.
No. I want nothing to do with wide receiver in the first round. Wide receiver, quarterback.
Who's your splash pick?
Pardon?
Who's your splash pick?
I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to trade back and grab Eric Kendricks in the middle of the first round, and then they're going to trade back up and grab Byron Jones from Connecticut, cornerback. Two picks.
That's Boy, that's shrewd right there, Ben.
That is shrewd.
That's what Ricky Rick does, though. The last 3 years, yeah, we talk about this all the time, it's been 2 first-rounders, 3 first-rounders, then 2 first-rounders. That's what he does. He's building this team, and he knows how to wheel and deal and move up and down, and he's going to have enough assets, and that's why I love the draft, because he's probably the most exciting general manager to watch do his business on draft night.
And does Adrian Peterson remain in purple?
Here's the deal. I was just going to ask you this one, Murph. What happens if Dick Spielberg takes Adrian Peterson, and this would be a mistake on my just from my own way of looking at it.
I'm walking right under the L train right now, if you can tell, so bear with me. I have to speak a little louder.
Sounds kind of like, it does sound like you're under an L train right now, but
you wanted some color, right? A little flavor of what the draft is. Well,
Sweet Home Chicago. So we got an L train there. I want to ask you: is there any chance that Spielman takes Peterson to a team that has already drafted either Gurley or Gordon? Says, how about Peterson and your second, third, and fourth round draft choice, and we'll call it a day. How's that scenario?
Well, which teams are those going to be then?
That's the danger, because if it's the Cardinals, and you know they're going to be shopping for a running back, and there's only two that are really worth drafting in the first round.
But here's the best part, because there's so many prognostications going on, mock drafts, this and that, or that scenario. What happens if the Minnesota Vikings at number 11 trade back a couple of picks and then themselves take Melvin Gordon and haven't traded Adrian Peterson yet? And that's when things are going to start to get crazy. And I could see that really happening. Them trading back to, say, number 15 or whatever, grabbing Melvin Gordon before San Diego picks, grabbing Melvin Gordon, and then having a trade actually worked out for Adrian Peterson with another team somewhere down, whether it be the end of the first round or the second round. But you've already guaranteed your running back replacement, and then you can take your cornerback, linebacker, and offensive guard in the late first and early second rounds.
That's a lot of moving parts again with teams on the clock absorbing a $13 million salary cap hit this year and 40 over the next three.
But that's why I'm saying I think something probably is already worked out if it's going to be worked out, and that's why Chris Carter said, I know something, but I can't say anything. But that way, it's already worked out salary cap-wise for Adrian Peterson. You secure the fact that you're going to have a game-changing running back in the first round, and there is enough talent cornerback-wise, wide receiver-wise, guard-wise, linebacker-wise at the end of the first round, early second round. So it really is lessening the moving parts in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be one hell of an hour.
It is. It really is. I mean, those first 10 or 11 guys, I mean, there's going to be some shifting and moving. And I think that they're all crazy for doing it. Just pick a guy. If you're in the top 12, pick your guy.
But if you pick a guy, you wouldn't wind up with Sharif Xavier and Cordarrelle Patterson all in one draft, or Anthony Barr and Teddy Bridgewater. That's why moving around, moving and shaking, that's why it's so exciting. That's why we have a talk show in the afternoon. And we talked to Brian Murphy in Chicago. Brian, actually, we've got to go to another guy in Chicago, Jim Rich. So you go get yourself settled at NFL Draft Headquarters. We'll call you again shortly after 6. Is that all right?
Sounds good to me.
And you two guys, you and Jim Rich ought to get together and have some ice cream.
Are you buying?
I'll flip the tab. Just put an expense report in. I'll take care of it.
All right. I'll keep my receipt.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Jim Rich, obviously in Chicago, drove there today covering the Blackhawks Minnesota Wild game. Starts tomorrow, round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs in Chicago tomorrow night.
Big time. Big time. And he's a big timer as well. They got a little budget there.
Yeah.
These guys won't spend any damn money on us to go out there. Son of a bitch. I mean, that would have been a lot of fun, you and I just gallivanting out up and down Lake Michigan with these guys.
That's probably why they didn't.
That's why they didn't do it. I mean, they're smart. That's why.
And it's cold there. Brian Murphy said it was cold.
That's so how you do football.
No, thank God we didn't go. I'd rather have the sunshine and the beautiful people here than go to some Polish douchebag's house.
What's wrong with you? Ah, crap the bed. Let's come back and talk with Jim Rich.
Well, I don't get it. That's what Holtz means in German.
I think we had a productive week. It's nice, preparation-wise, for us not to have to scramble as coaches and for us not to, throw too much at the players in too short a period of time. We can spread things out a little bit, but, I think the other thing that's maybe a little bit nice is as the week, wears on, you can start to concentrate on yourselves a little bit more, too.
Ben, settle down.
But first of all, your blood sugar is too low. You're scrambled. You don't know where you're at. Why don't you just let me talk with Jim Rich, and you go and find some kind of like a glucose pack. I'll take it from here. Jim, he's speaking gibberish again.
Again?
Yes.
Wow. I thought the doctor fixed that.
They did. I got new medicine today. Honest to God, I had like a miniature stroke the other day. It was not good. Jim Rich, though, have you made it to Chicago, the Windy City?
Well, we're not quite there yet. Just dropped off $1.90 in the bucket, and we're in South Beloit.
Wow. It's kind of the Windy City in here with the superstar. Not really sure what he had for lunch. But it's quite interesting. You're lucky that you're all the way in Chicago. Just got off the phone with Brian Murphy, who's also in Chicago. You guys should get together and hang out for a little bit. Well, you're going to both friends of the show. He's covering the Minnesota Vikings in the NFL draft tonight. But you covering the Wild in the big game, game one, round two tomorrow night. That's going to be exciting.
It will be. We're going to try to crash the NFL draft. You may see us on TV tonight. We're going to run right down there.
Going
in the
streaking.
Front row.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to take over and yell 105 the ticket. And just carry me off.
I would dare you.
That's what I'm going to do.
I would dare you to run up to the podium, push Goodell aside, and say. Picking 11th, the Minnesota Vikings select, and just make up whoever you want. Just take
the
ownership
turd burglar.
And just take do whatever you want.
I thought you wanted me to make a pick for the Vikings.
Well, make a pick. But let's make a pick. Oh, then do it for me. If you're going to do it for me, get Trey Waynes in this thing.
All right, that's what I'll go up there and tell
them.
I'll just hand
them
a piece of paper.
you say, here the Vikings are ready. We're way under the clock, but we knew who we wanted the whole time. Here's our pick. And just hand Goodell a little slip of paper and have him just read off Trey Waynes.
And then shortly after that, hand him another paper and say, the Minnesota Vikings and Cleveland Browns have made a trade, 12-19, going to the Vikings for Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Somehow.
You like that one, too.
Well, it'd be nice.
Somehow we're going to end up with four first-round draft picks tonight. You know it.
Okay.
Wow. You guys are really got... This is going to be entertaining. I am going to crash it now.
Yeah, we've got it all figured out. James, the reason why we love you so much is because you're brilliant when it comes to all things sports, but particularly the Minnesota Wild, and we've had a week off. And that's what Mike Yo was talking about, basically being on the break from last Sunday until the game time tomorrow. I've almost forgotten what hockey's all about.
Yeah, it's been quite a stretch here sitting around, and the players are getting antsy. They're sick and tired of practicing, and it's been enough. They want to get in there. They flew to Chicago, so now they're starting to feel that the series is here. They'll have their morning skate tomorrow at the United Center and then get ready for game one. And then it's on. So, the rest is kind of good, but it got a little long. But they'll be asking for rest by the time game five or six comes rolling around in the series. Then they'll be going, okay, maybe we could go for an off day or two.
No kidding. And they're so used to this now with Chicago. I mean, they've just these are the guys they meet every offseason in the playoffs. They must think, surely we have their number by now. Surely we have the upper edge on the Blackhawks now. They don't seem you don't hear the buzz, you don't feel the buzz around town about this series like you would have last year or the year before.
Not in Chicago. It'll be interesting to see what the fans think in Chicago, whether they think, well, this is just punch our ticket to the conference championship. This will be easy. We beat them two in a row. Why are they going to be any different this time? For the Wild players, though, the thing about Chicago is that I don't think you can rattle them like you could the Blues. Like when the Wild were laughing in Steve Ott's face and just, toying with them. Where St. Louis was trying to goad them into taking penalties. Chicago is a very cerebral team. They know what they're doing. They're not going to get in a situation where they panic if they're down by a goal. They're going to stay in this thing. And the longer these games stay tight, the more the advantage switches to Chicago. If they're one-goal games, then you may have to favor the Hawks because they've won two cups. They know how to win series. I think they're under Quinville. I read they're like 17-4 in playoff series under Coach Q. So these guys know psychologically what it takes to win a series. And that's going to be the hardest thing for the Wild to overcome. They've got Dubnyk. They may have the edge in the goaltending. But to make the Hawks crack and to break out of what they normally like to do, that's going to be the real battle of this series, I think.
That's what it sounds like to me, too. I mean, I've only, you know, followed hockey, I would say the last 3 or 4 years with any seriousness. But over the last couple, what you hear about Chicago is that, well, it's exactly what happened. I mean, they were a dominant team, and they went all the way to the Stanley Cup. And this year, though, it's the goaltending. It's Patrick Kane being on and off the ice and you know, finally back again. And just not the same buzz, at least, that I've been hearing in years past. And for us, it just seems like a wildfire still. And not to say I'm not taking him lightly. I know the Wild aren't taking him lightly, but I just feel better about this series this time around than the last couple times.
Absolutely. I mean, and the Wild should. They've addressed the way Chicago has beaten them in the past. They've gotten better goaltending. I mean, we know what we went through last year with Briz Garlov in there, and it was remarkable we got to six with Briz in there. They have the depth factor. Well, the Wild have fixed that. They've added more pieces. They've also, you know, they've tried to imitate Chicago's game. After they got smoked that first playoff series against Chicago, Zach Parise goes, "That wasn't a series. You have to have the puck to have a series. We never had the puck." The Wild now, since then, have tried to build themselves as a puck possession team. So both teams are going to do the same thing to each other, which means, like I get back to, the thinking man's game. You know, they've got to stay disciplined. The Wild have to stay in their defensive structure. They can't start running around, or Kane will slice you to death.
Yeah, Jim Rich from Fox 9. Is there any other team and a bigger rival now for the Minnesota Wild with as many times as they faced them the last couple of years, including both second rounds of the NHL playoffs? And with the Minnesota Wild obviously trying to copy in the way that the Chicago Blackhawks do things, but it all comes down to the goalie situation, as always, in the playoffs. And you and I talk about that almost every afternoon when you come on the show. And yep. Corey Crawford, he is the end-all, be-all for the Chicago Blackhawks. If he's just as silly as he was last series against the Nashville Predators, I mean, the Minnesota Wild are going to win this one going away.
Yeah, I've heard some experts in Chicago reading what they've written about the series, and they're saying that if the Hawks don't play better defensively, they're going to get blown up by the Wild. That they'll get Crawford to be exposed, they're going to give up two-on-ones, and that's where the Wild have to really finish things off. When they get odd man rushes, they've got to score, because they're not going to get a ton of them. But when they get them, they have to make them count. You can't just wait for some bounce off a leg to go in. You've got to dictate the tempo. You've got to come at Chicago. You have to, again, steal home ice advantage, and you have to do it early in the series. So Chicago starts questioning themselves, because they have some questions lingering from that Nashville series. And it's like Star was saying, it's not the same buzz around the Hawks that, well, we're just waiting for them to get to the cup. It's a different kind of feeling in that locker room this year. And you know what? They may be getting tired. I mean, they've been here so many years and year after year. And, you know, sometimes maybe that hunger isn't there, where the Wild should be starving. As Coach Tim Brewster says, are you hungry or are you starving? And hopefully the Wild are starving.
That's true. It's so true. I mean, so teams that are digging to find that first Stanley Cup berth. Teams like ours that seem to be stacked and finally healthy with talent and depth and a good goaltender, you would just think this is going to be an interesting tournament for the Minnesota Wild and the fans. I just think that they did play their cards the right way at the beginning of this season by landing some of the players. These younger guys, they finally did get up here where they thought they would be in 2 years. That the Fletcher's vision was 2, 3, 4 years down the road after he signed Suter and Parisi. And it did turn out that way. The big plan is coming together. They lucked out somewhat by getting Dubnyk when they got him. And here we go. I think it's going to be a nice run, I think.
Right. And you have to almost admire Suter and Parisi for their analysis of what the Wild have. The young pieces, the Granlunds coming up, the Coils back then. They were looking at the Niederreiters, guys like that, and saying, okay, yeah, we kind of like what you have, and we think this is a place that can work for us. Now, they won't admit that, you know, that they're going to come out and say, wow, we saw this coming, and that's why we signed here. But you remember, if you go back to then, that was one thing that Parisi and Suter, when they were together with their agents, looking at teams, and they were looking in the farm systems of these teams to see what they had coming. Because if we're going to sign long-term deals, we want to know who our teammates are in years 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And so those guys figured out what projected what these youngsters were going to turn out like. And so far, their prediction looks like it was right.
Yeah, it's going to be quite the series. It starts tomorrow, round two, the Chicago Blackhawks, Minnesota Wild, game one, 8:30 tomorrow night. Watch Jim Rich. He's got all the details tonight on Fox 9, and we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon as well, live from Chicago.
Oh, we're even going to be on in the morning show tomorrow, for goodness sake.
Uh-oh, look out.
6:30 a.m.
Ooh, hey, now.
First hit.
Wow, and I want you to look up Brian Murphy. You and Brian should go and enjoy like some tea and crumpets.
You guys will have to text me his number. I do not possess that. So, right. Yes, he would be a good insight on what happens here tonight. Maybe he can join me at 6:30 a.m. to talk about what the Vikings did.
That'd be perfect.
Sure, he'd love that.
I'm sending you his phone number right now.
Perfect.
I'm watching him send it to you. So I witnessed it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so let that be a lesson to you, Jim Rich. Take care of yourself. Don't get hurt there in Chicago. It's a tough town.
I've heard it's a tough guy town.
It is. It's a broad-shouldered bully town.
Yes. Well, I just spent a couple hours driving around Madison looking for the Wienermobile, but I didn't find it, so now we're moving on to Chicago.
No more Wieners, but pull the sausage aplenty, Jim Rich. We've got to go. We got to get to your favorite guy, Mike Berardino. We're going to talk Twins baseball.
He's always in a good mood, I hear, for you guys.
Yep. He's a really good person. He's a good person. And I'll tell you what, he's at his best when he needs to be his best. And that's normally with us.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I just made that up. Take care of yourself there in Chi-Town and go Wild.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow from the rink.
Adios. All right, then.
Thanks, Jim.
You guys know the drill. Prepare yourself. Mike Berardino is, he's a grizzled vet on the air. He's a tough guy. Well, not tough. He's tough to get along with. He's coming on next. I want you to just go with the flow. Ben and I, we think we're asking good questions. Mike will say we don't ask good questions, and he will be bored with us. But that's just the way it is, because it's hardball.
Here for the Minnesota Twins team.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in that head of his, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Baseball's been very, very good to me, guys.
What sort of accomplishments do you have in the way of baseball where you would view that as being very, very good to you?
Sunshine.
I agree with you on that. When
beer, nachos.
I guess it's been pretty good to me as well.
Mike Berardino.
I ate a hell of a well right there. I mean, that's the common denominator.
The
right
end all
there,
be all
that
right
if you're
there.
Looking for baseball to be really, really good to you, we have Mike Berardino.
Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
I am great. How are you guys?
Just dandy.
We're good.
Mock draft over yet?
No, actually, that's why we're calling. We need you to make a pick
for
the...
we're going second and third round today. You got the Dolphins?
Yes. Can I have Max Williams?
Wow. You know what? If that wouldn't be a bad selection. I see him going to the Cleveland Browns in the second round.
Really? Yeah, really? I'm
that's
sorry
how I
see that.
I am too. We'll have funeral arrangements soon following that pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's gotten good. Let's put it this way: the mock stuff is over with, and let the games begin tonight. I think something will definitely the heads are going to roll in the first 10 picks. That's for sure. There's going to be some wheeling and dealing, but who cares about football
at this moment?
At this moment, the Chicago White Sox are in town. They can keep their little draft party alive over there in Chicago, but we're here. And
Chris Sale, man, tonight, he is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, and that'll be a fun little treat for Twins fans at Target Field. If you want the Twins to win, though, it might be a little rough.
He's really good against everybody, but he seems to particularly dominate the Twins. I put on Twitter some of their career numbers, and there's some ugliness there. But Kurt Suzuki's a guy who's had some decent success against him, and he's in the number five spot in this batting order. And Brian Dozier stays at the top of the order, and Danny Santana hit ninth. So those are some things the Mulder's trying to do: stack that lineup with as many right-handed options and switch hitters as he could. And it's nice to see your guy Kenny Vargas back in there again. He had a good day yesterday, two hits after his three-day mental health break, and if they can get him going, he did have a hit off Sale the first time they faced him this year in Chicago.
We're talking to Mike Berardino, Twins Baseball every day at this time, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Some movement too on some pitchers. Obviously Casey Fien today, that shoulder strain lands him on the DL, and then word that Ricky Nolasco in his elbow, he's been out for a while, should come off the DL to start on Saturday. So some movement there.
Yes, we finally have an answer to the Ricky Nolasco mystery, and that means that Tommy Malone gets bounced temporarily, perhaps, to the bullpen, where they now have 47 left-handers when Stinson comes off on Saturday.
47,
it's a lot. It is a lot to me. I don't know where they get the chairs. They had to expand it. There's now a revolving door, as I mentioned, onto the Twins bullpen, because Dunsing will come off the DL as well on Saturday. It looks like he threw a 30-pitch, two-inning simulated game today with no issues as he comes back from his intercostal, and that's all healed up and everything. So, that's important, because it was always Dunsing was supposed to share the eighth inning with Fien. Well, if you're going to be without Fien for a couple of weeks, and Casey's very optimistic about being able to come off as soon as possible as well, just like Dunsing is doing. So it's kind of almost, it's a relay race here to get through a 6-month span. Casey Fien has not been on a DL at any level since 2011. He had an elbow thing for a couple of months as an Astros AAA guy. He is very durable, and disappointed he's on the DL, but he thinks he'll be back pretty soon.
And one more before we have to let you go. Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. Phil Hughes gave us a little scare yesterday. He seems to be okay, right, and should make his start. Scheduled start for Monday, which is May the 4th, be with you.
That's right. Hughes the force night, there's a lot on the line there in terms of cross-promotion. But I'm not sure that we can say at this point definitively he'll be ready to take the ball on Monday, because he jogged around a little bit, some light jogging, which is all I think he does anyway, but he's going to throw on the side, they hope, in a normal situation, but he might need an extra day or two for that. So that's why Tommy Malone being in the bullpen is a nice a security blanket of sorts, because they could just pop him back and let him start Monday and push Hughes back. There's going to be some transactions over the next few days with the Minnesota Twins. They will, they perhaps will lead baseball in transactions, but none of them are really long-term. It's just roster maintenance.
Interesting enough. What is Paul Molitor's attitude about this whole thing, the way it's gone thus far? I mean, do you have a decent idea of where he is now with his approach?
Well, yesterday really tested his approach, didn't it? Because there is some ugliness out there. You get a 7-3 lead on the Detroit Tigers. You're 12 outs away from giving them their second series loss of the season. And then you blow it up with Tim Stauffer. That's a concern. I think Mulder, short answer, if I can try to give one, is that Mulder's handling the ebbs and flows of a season, as he calls them, very well. His patience is much greater than people might have imagined from a guy who was a perfectionist as a player. And I think he's pushing a lot of the right buttons. He's not going to push them all properly, but mostly his percentage has been pretty good. And after that start, 9-12, not so bad.
Interesting how Mike Pelfrey may have, I mean, obviously a long season, but right now the last laugh where he is doing pretty well in the starting rotation after being moved to the bullpen at from spring training, and Tommy Malone now back in the bullpen. Funny how that works out. Hardball, Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins never tasted this refreshing. Enjoy the game tonight. And if you want to, come on down and join us at the office tomorrow, just a block away from, I believe it's gate 6, right? Soup?
Yeah. Three. It's right behind
is it three?
Gate three.
It's gate three.
Right
three. You're right.
Off the outfield.
So, on Washington, the office, right between J.D. Hoyts and Deja Vu. We'd love to see you. We'll be out there on the patio, sipping a couple, having a cigar, soaking in the sunshine.
If you come by, Mike, I'll buy you a sarsaparilla. What do you think of that? And you can head off to the old ball game.
I'll have to Google it. I'm going to Google it, see if it's worth a walk.
Sarsaparilla is some good stuff, man. That's old school root beer from Iowa.
You better believe it, man. Believe it.
That's right. Well, that might be good.
Well, come on by. Mike. Come on by. You're invited. Right, so. Take care and enjoy the ball game.
Enjoy the real draft.
Yeah, the real one is much, much better. Trust me. Thanks, Michael.
All right, guys. See you,
buddy.
He is off and running. He's a good dude.
God, I love that
guy. I just get a kick out of him.
The more and more
I've learned about how to handle his grumpiness, it's more fun. It's more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Woo! And that hasn't been said in probably 20 years. And it dates me. It's Mike's break. So cue up the Pantera. We're going to go back to the draft and talk about, a little Pantera. 5 minutes alone would be a great song. And we'll go with... Let's get back to the draft and see what some of these teams, like the first quarterbacks taken, and we'll also talk about the first running backs. That will be interesting. There has not been a running back picked in the last 2 years in the National Football League at all in the first round. Now they're thinking that two guys will go. Will they or not? Give me a call right here, 651-989-9105. Discuss those things with us about the draft. Ben Holson, myself, the superstar Mike Morris.